The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and today we are starting our Masters content, and there is no better way to start than with the big, beefy one, Bryson DeChambeau, the favorite to win and don his first green jacket. And joining me to break it all down is Kyle Porter. KP, on a scale from 1 to 10, how excited are you about this podcast?
Oh, I'm like a 12. I mean, it's out of control. I was just trying to get through the Bermuda preview so we could get to the big boy, the big fella, the big golfer. Do you think he should be the favorite? We talked about this a little bit with Greg. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Do you think he should be the favorite considering his history at Augusta is, I don't know, his best finish T21? Should that person be the favorite?
So I think the answer is yes. I have some concerns, but I could echo some concerns about Wingsfoot, and we know how that went, right? So I have some other concerns, more so on the greens than maybe his driver and the big weapon that he has. I think the upside, the win equity, when everything's going right, and the game that Bryson's trying to play right now, It is game changing. It's different than what other guys are doing. And you could have Rory go nuts for 4 days, or DJ, or Brooks, or whoever else, John Rahm, JT. But it's different with Bryson. And if he is quote unquote breaking the game, then I think he has to be the favorite.
Well, I think what's interesting is their games right now, like all those guys you mentioned, DJ, JT, Rory, they're kind of static, right? Like it's just, They're taking whatever game they have to Augusta, and Bryson is like actively like and dynamically trying to become somebody he was not
right
at the US Open. So he's taking what happened at the US Open and trying to tack on X percentage improvement to that. And I think that's the part where you're like, well, what are we going to see? Like, I don't totally know what to expect. Either the 48 inch driver thing. I mean, we see this video. Can we talk about the video that came out yesterday?
Yeah. The what is essentially a long drive contest video, that one?
I wrote an article for CBSSports.com, and it would be performance art if it weren't so earnest, right? That Brendan Porath has talked about this. There's a lack of self-awareness there that is incredible. But, you know, at the same time, it's working, and it continues to work. And, you know, Jordan Spieth said that on, I can't remember the name of, what's the name of Colt Nost podcast?
I don't want to say the wrong one, but
Drop Zone.
No, Drop Zone. Yes.
I think that's right. You know, Spieth said, look, like it's working and he's worked hard at it. And I think we're all like pretty much on the same page. It's subpar. Is that the name? Oh, the Colt Nost pod, Jacob, is subpar. Yeah. Thank you, Producer Jacob. We're idiots. We basically just say whatever Producer Jacob tells us to say.
Right, yeah.
I think we're all on the same page with the fact that Bryson has worked hard and earned what he's doing. But we're also on the same page that we might see Augusta National played in a way that we've never seen it played before.
That right there is why this is the biggest story. It's why everybody cares about this. It's why we're leading off our Masters coverage with this story, because listen, say what you will about the greatest courses that we have on the PGA Tour and the greatest events that we have on the PGA Tour, but this is the only one of the majors that we see every single year. It is near and dear to our heart. We get the warm and fuzzies when they show just the gates opening in slow-mo, right? Like they're removing the chains and I'm like on the floor, I'm unconscious. So like, it's just different. And we're also familiar with it. And not only is it familiar KP, but it is, I mean, it's tradition. Everything about Augusta National and the Masters is tradition. And you have a guy who is trying to, I hate to keep saying the word, break the tradition and do it so completely differently that it's just, it's a lot more uncomfortable when to try to see him do it here. I think if it works, he'll be applauded more. I think if it's disastrous, he will be ridiculed more. Like, oh, of course you couldn't take down Augusta National. I just think this is something that's so special and so unique that I hate that 1 year's worth of results is going to be something we're going to talk about. Well, I guess we don't have to talk about it for 365 days just until April again, but like,
yeah,
it's a big deal.
Well, and I think that's the mistake everybody's making when they talk about Bryson is like, people kind of come at me and are like, oh, is he just going to win every event? And it's like, no, that's like not that's not even close to the point. Like, no, that would never happen. He's just improving his chances of winning by a large margin and is going to win more than he would have if he hadn't done all this work. So yeah, people are going to do the thing if he finishes T30 and be like, oh, we'll see, you know, and it's like, no, like this is like a 5-10 year deal. It's not a one tournament deal. And I hope that we don't, but you're right. I mean, the Masters is everything's magnified. Everything. I mean, ask Rory about that, right? Like everything matters 10X more there than it does anywhere else. And some of that's fair and some of it's unfair. But as it relates to Bryson, it's going to be super interesting because there are people that don't know anything about this that are going to be introduced to it. And it's going to be a thing. Like it's going to be a real thing.
There's going to be a large percentage of the audience that, yeah, they're just going to show, they're going to put the side-by-side picture of Bryson at Augusta last year and Bryson this year, and people aren't going to know what hit him. Like, it's unbelievable stuff if you haven't been paying attention to, I mean, it's just been just over a year ago he told us he was going to start doing this, and the transformation, I almost forgot. Like, you shared those photos from him at Augusta National last year, and it's jarring stuff. I thought it was 10 years ago. He looks young and he looks skinny.
Yeah, it's like 18 or 17 months ago or whatever. Yeah. Do you think Augusta National will let him play Thunderstruck on the first tee?
If they do, it's over. It's absolutely over. I want to talk about the 48-inch driver, right? So now he's been in hibernation he didn't play Zozo, right? He played CJ Cup.
Yeah, no, he didn't play either.
Oh, he didn't play either.
He played Shriners.
Shriners, that's right. Okay, so
you know what he averaged off the tee at Shriners?
No, what?
I looked it up today. 363 off the tee.
Oh my God. But now he goes into hibernation and he's been teasing this 48-inch driver, which I don't like. Let's set some background for this. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, the longest you're allowed to have, right? Like by regulations, 48 inches as long as you can go.
I think that's right. And his current driver is like 45 or 45 and a half.
I believe that is also correct. So this is, he's basically saying, okay, within the rules, I'm now going to go as long as I can, obviously to try to create as much torque, as much speed, as much everything as possible. And obviously, you know, there's a reason that dispersions with your pitching wedge are usually smaller than dispersions with your driver because longer clubs are harder to control. But if he can figure out that happy medium, like this is just him continuing to optimize. And you mentioned it, like what he did at Wingsfoot is kind of like, I don't want to say it's out the door, but now he's going to try to do something different again.
Yeah. Which is, that's the crazy part. That's the part where it's like, where does this end? You know, like how does it end up in a year, 2 years, whatever, however it's going to go. I guess my question with 48 inch driver is he posted that, I can't believe we're talking like so in depth about Bryson's like Instagram and everything, but this is, I mean, again, like this is sort of like the Tiger in the early 2000s story of 2020. I don't think that's hyperbole. He posted
and
that.
And if Tiger would have been, I'm trying to think of a way he could have communicated with that. If he was sending out, I don't even know if email, like what would have been a good comparison if Tiger was like, holding a press conference every other day and showing us his numbers, it would, like, we would be talking about it in the same way.
It would have been his away message on Instant Messenger.
his top eight friends on MySpace would have just been driver, 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 driver.
That's great. Anyway, Bryson carries it 403, 20 mile an hour headwind. But he put in that, he wrote in that post, said, this isn't even the 48 inch driver yet. Yeah. And you're like, well, I mean, the Masters is in 3 weeks. Like it's like this weird, like unveiling, like, you know how they like a banner unveiling, like is the first time we're ever going to see it. Like, is he going to use like the 45 inch in practice rounds and then just bring the 48er to the first tee?
It's a really good question. I mean, and I'm looking at, you know, you mentioned what he was firing away at Shriners, 363. I'm looking at your notes from the article that you wrote, which is basically a hole by hole breakdown of what he's able to do. And I mean, this is assuming what his current driver, KP, this is not even like what are the assumptions made on some of these?
Yeah. So I wrote an article for CBSSports.com and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but it did happen. I used Google Earth and was like trying to figure out like what the bunker cover was and what the down, you know, all these different things. This is how you prepare for a major in 2020, apparently. Not because of the pandemic, but just because of the technology at hand. So I did it like knowing that he was going to use the 48 inch driver, but also presuming that it's going to be colder. And so I think some of that stuff cancels out a little bit. Yeah. I tried to take into account the uphill and downhill, like the slopes on some of the different drives. But what I ended up with, Rick, is I think 15 of the 18 holes, he's going to have 9-iron or less into those holes. And we can go hole by hole if you want, and just kind of talk about – actually, you want to do that? You want to go hole by hole?
Yeah, let's go hole by hole. So just the way this is. So hole number one, you know, plays 445 on the scorecard. You have him basically going what could be driver and his 58 degree wedge into hole number one.
Yeah, and just carry the bunker. He's going to have like 110, 105 in, which is silly. I mean, number one's a tough driving hole. So, you know, who knows? Two.
He's got to get it over. He's got to hit a draw and he's got to get it down the hill. But if he does, now he's talking 8-iron it.
8-iron, maybe. I mean, I don't think a 400-yard drive there is out of the question, depending on how hard he draws it there. Three is 350. He's going to drive the green.
He drives it, right?
I mean, is there a risk there of driving that green?
I mean, there is always risk, right? Because there's some of the short game areas that you have to play out of are trickier than most, but I think you take on that risk if you can get there, or if you can try to get there.
Yeah, I think so too. Four is par three, 240. It's going to be his longest iron of the day, which is, I'm sure.
What if he doesn't carry 4-iron, 3-iron? Like, what if he just has like 7 wedges in the back?
Well, that's what I think. I haven't listened to it, but I think the guys at No Line Up said he should carry like 3 drivers and 6 wedges.
If his club in is a 5-iron on number 4 and he uses it again, maybe on 8, like, it might not be a bad idea.
It's a great take. Number 5, up the left side, it's 320 to cover those new bunkers. I think he'll have like 145, 150 in, which for him is a sand wedge.
Yep.
Number 6 is 180. That's a 9-iron.
That's crazy.
Number 7, 7's fairly short, especially like in like these days. I have it at like 335, which is a 58 degree.
I'm, and then we get to 8, which is, I'm really interested in 8 because this is the one that Spieth actually kind of alludes to him having an advantage because the landing zone widens, right? So if you fly everything, you don't have to be as exact, right?
Yeah, it does widen, but it also runs into that upslope on 8 to where there's no run out. Like, it's basically you're getting your carry and maybe minus like a couple yards because sometimes it'll come back. So I think you'll have like 230, 225, something like that into there. And then 9, I mean, Spieth said it on that Colt Knows podcast. He's going to have like 180-yard wide landing zone. It's from the scoreboard on 1
right
to the bunkers on 7. And you can take, I was thinking about this, depending on where the pin is, you can hit it wherever you want to have a good angle into that pin.
That's where he's going to do the, like the Instagram video we just saw where he just hulks out and lets it fly and figures out wherever it lands. It's all good. Then he makes the turn. He goes to 10, which you say is similar to number two. So if he can kind of get that draw going, and conditions obviously can be different, but he can really let it fly here.
Yeah. 53 degree wedge into 10. 11's.
Why is 11 the tough driving hole for him?
Oh, it's just a tough driving hole in general. And it's 505 yards. It's pretty narrow. You can't miss left. If you miss left, it's a five. Mm-hmm. If you miss right, you need to miss like pretty far right to get it into, what is that, 14 coming back, where Tiger got taken out in the double play a couple years ago.
Oh, my God. That is like, we don't have time for that today, but that was a moment. I cannot believe that even happened.
I can't either. But he still should have like pitching wedge 9-iron into 11. The hard part there is going to be the angle, right? Because you got that back left green. So if you're up the left side, it's a hard hole. 12's pitching wedge, 13. Let's talk about 13.
Yeah, this is interesting.
So 13, his stated goal, Rick, is to hit it into the 14. It's not really the fairway, but like the area between the tee box and the fairway. Like, and again, that landing zone, it's an entire hole wide. Right. I mean, the length of a different hole is how wide the landing zone is.
Yeah.
And so he could hit it, you know, depending on how you cut the trees, he could hit it 360 and only have like 125, 130 in. Now, those numbers don't add up to what the yardage is of the entire hole.
But angles.
But you're cutting off so much distance off the tee shot. Now, it's a really hard shot to pull off because you got to hit it over these trees and, you know, not clip any of them. But if he does, he's going to have, I mean, it turns into a par three course right there.
And then 14. So then he gets to 14, and even with three wood, he could still have a wedge into this thing.
For sure. It's 440. I think he hits his three wood like 290 or something. Wedge in there. 15 is interesting because it's upslope and then it's down pretty hard on like over that hill.
Right.
And if you get it over the hill, I mean, it's weird because if you get it over the hill, you're going to have this like really steep downslope. So you kind of want to be on top of the hill, which is where most guys hit it.
For reference, I mean, what do we remember what Sergio hit into? Didn't Sergio hit the pin on his approach on this hole?
Yeah, he hit the stick.
It was probably seven iron?
I would have said seven or eight, yeah.
Okay.
If he was on top, he was right on top of that hill. Right. Bryson can get it down that hill maybe, but I don't know if you really want to there.
Yeah, you might want to leave it on top and have a good flat look at it. 16 is a 9-iron into that par three. 17 is, I love your comment here, just your standard driver 58 major championship hole. But it's true.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, without the tree there that they took out a few years ago, it gets wider. It gets easier than it used to be. And then, you know, 18 is interesting because there's like a weird thing you can do around the right corner there.
Yeah.
And I don't know like the height of the trees or whatever, but I wonder if you could like take it over part of that corner. It's 345 to carry the left bunkers. That shouldn't come into play. But even if it does, he could probably carry it 345, but you want to be up the right side and he's going to have, you know, 125, 120 in. So you add it all up and you've got bunch of pitching wedges, bunch of 58 and 53 degrees, and then 2 5 irons and an 8 iron. Those are your longest approach shots.
He might be able to carry like 6 clubs.
Yeah.
This is madness.
I'm glad you brought up the wedge thing. Like, why wouldn't you introduce a 55 and a 62. I mean,
well, what, cause also because what I think is interesting you know, Bryson's weird because he evolves constantly. Like every week is something different. We're constantly trying to keep up, but when he first started playing events since the quote unquote transformation, those like mid range, you know, 75% wedge shots, those flip wedges, those were the things that gave him the biggest issues. So I wonder if he could just fill as many gaps as possible with maybe I'm exaggerating, but like seven wedges, if your longest approach shot's going to come with a 5 iron and try to take away as many of those really awkward flippy type. Well, like he doesn't want to be the artist, right? He wants to just be a robot, bring it back this far and hit it and let the loft and lie and everything else take over. I don't know if that's a real strategy, if that would even help, but it's like, when I look at this breakdown, that's what it makes me think.
Yeah. I think it's a great point. And even if you have a situation where you need a 6 or a 4 or whatever, you can just hit a hard 5 or a soft 5 and you're just not going to get into that situation a lot based on how you drive it. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think part of the reason game's hard is we talk about this with Justin Thomas. You have to have different swing speeds because you can only carry so many wedges. You can only have so many distances. And so you have to hit a hard 53 or a soft 53 or like flight it or not flight or whatever. And so you're right. Like the more gaps you can fill in there because you don't need like 4 of the other clubs that other people need, that Zach Johnson needs.
Yeah.
Does it change like your makeup a ton? Probably not, but it might gain you a couple strokes. You know, it might be worth like a half stroke per round, which could end up winning you the golf tournament.
One of the things, and this story is catching a bit of steam as we get closer, but there was some good work over on Golf Digest about it. Kind of going down the path that Bryson doesn't want to be the artist. He wants to calculate everything out. It's the fact that he's not going to be able to use a green reading book. There's no greens book at Augusta National. And if you've ever seen Bryson putt or read putts, and you've heard him say this out of frustration, is like, that's 3% down, you know, downhill. How'd that ball stop there? And he's serious, right? Like he's taking the stimp, he's taking the speed of the greens, he's taking the slope, and he's predicting like a break in it. And then he's actually bringing his putter back a certain distance relative to his feet. And that's it. It's a math problem for him. But if he doesn't have access to the greens book and he's got to kind of, you know, fill in X and Y and Z on the fly and not be as precise with it, that's where I think things start to get a little bit hairy.
Yeah. I, by the way, how weird is it that like, what other sport would you like, would it ever be like, well, you know, this week we're having like completely different rules on what can be like, isn't that bizarre?
Yes, it is. I mean, the only thing kind of similar, I always thought it was kind of crazy that, in baseball, every stadium's different.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, here it's 300 feet down the right field line. And then it's like the next night it's 350 and there's a 20-foot fence. But like, yeah, no, it is. This is, I wouldn't call it equipment, right? I wouldn't call it greens book equipment, but I do think it's closer to that than just like, you know, just like certain stadium rules in baseball or something like that.
Yeah. No, that's a good point about the distances in fences in baseball. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I do think it matters, and maybe it just matters from a confidence standpoint. Like it just gives him confidence to have that book. And that's the thing, is like, he can hit it 350 all day and it means nothing, because the point of the game is not to hit it 350. The point of the game is to make a 3 on every hole or a 4. And you got to make putts to do that, you know? And that was something that Spieth, again, I keep referencing, it's like this 2-minute clip. And it was so insightful about Bryson, because it was from somebody who's both done it and been with Bryson when he's doing it. And he just talked about how like he's transformed himself. The driving is one thing, but he's become an unbelievable putter. And so I wonder if you gave Bryson like this truth serum that said, okay, how much of this is because you have figured out green reading books, and how much of it is feel, is like touch, is your own kind of, you know, the arm lock and the ability to repeatedly do that. I wonder what he would say. He would probably I think if you, he probably will be asked that at Augusta, and he'll probably like give himself credit just to like boost his own confidence because he doesn't have the book. Right. But I wonder like what he thinks the reality of that is.
You would need the truth serum because he'll never tell you the truth in a press. So Justin Ray tweeted this out like literally as we were firing up our mics. So there's 58 players who have played at least 8 rounds at Augusta National over the last 3 years. Of that group, Bryson DeChambeau is dead last in strokes gained putting at the Masters. Now you can say it's 8 rounds. You can say, well, he's a pretty good putter everywhere else in the world. And when he gets to Augusta National, he doesn't have his greens book. He struggles. There's a lot of variance in this, but like I'm probably more interested in this than I necessarily am about the driver. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong.
Why do you think you're more interested in this?
Because the driver, I think, is more we're going to be able to see with our own eyes what he does with his driver. We're not going to see or ever know what his intended line was on the greens, if he hit it where he wanted to, if he misread it, if he mishit it, if he pushed it, all that stuff. So, and then there's a lot of a mental side of it for Bryson, which I think you touched on, which is how confident is he? You know, I mean, these guys want to be 100% committed to every single shot that they hit. If he's questioning, hey, did I get that slope or that grade correct? Am I feeling that right in my feet? I just think there's, and we're never going to get answers to any of these, which is kind of why I'm more interested in it, because it is more of the artist Bryson instead of the robot Bryson.
Yeah, I think my rebuttal to that about the putting thing, and that's not an insignificant stat. I think it matters. And look, like all this stuff is going to be, and this is what makes it fun for us. All of it is going to be fascinating to keep an eye, to like watch. Like I'm going to Augusta. Guess who I'm following on Thursday?
Let's see. Larry Mize, is he playing this year?
not Rafa Cabrera Bayo. I'm going to be on the first tee or the 10th tee, whichever one he's on, with Bryson. And I think the rebuttal to the putting thing is you look at Wingfoot, right? And those greens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great facsimile for Augusta, right? And I get that he had the green, or did they have green reading books at the US Open? I presume they did.
Yes, because I feel like I saw one that was like, oh, here's the pin, red lines all over, you know, red arrows down and around and all over the place. Yeah, I think they did.
Producer Jacob says yes, so we'll go with that as gospel truth. But even still, it's not like you're putting Harding Park, for example, where it's flat. I don't know.
Harding Park's in Muni.
you played it, didn't you?
Yeah, I played it a couple weeks after they did. Kicked my butt.
it looks so easy. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know. I think that, you know, we talk about how the kind of the variance in putting is smaller to be like to begin with. And so I just don't know. I mean, sure, that will be a story and it might turn into a bigger story if he puts it really poorly. And it's like, oh, you know, drive show, putt for dough. It's like, oh, check this.
Said a million times. If he misses putts.
Which is just infuriating because it's like, hey, go check the stroke scan off the tee numbers and do a V lookup with the money list.
I love that you finally got a V lookup into a podcast.
Yeah,
that's
function. Go V look up the money list and you're going to get of the top 10 guys. I mean, it just blows away the top 10 putters. I mean, whatever, that's a tangent. But it is going to be interesting.
The other thing you mentioned, which I don't think is as noteworthy, but they are going off split tees because there's going to be less daylight in November. And there's been a couple of people being like, you know, and I don't even know if this is true. Here's the narrative. Bryson, notoriously slow player. Are they quicker to put him on the clock? Does he feel any more pressure with daylight? I'm actually not even sure he's that slow of a player. I just think that there's been a couple of instances where, you know, he's been on PGA Tour Live featured groups by himself and someone has a stopwatch on him and it hasn't looked good. I don't actually know if he's a slow player or not in general. But it's going to be different off of two tees and them trying to get those rounds in.
Yeah. He seems, he seems to get into, like, when he's hitting it well, like, I never at the US Open thought, like, oh, he's so slow. Like, you know, like, when he's hitting it well, it just doesn't seem, it's when he gets himself into these, like, weird situation where there's ants or where there's all these different things that
he needs a second opinion on something.
Yeah, he turns it into, like, way more than it should be. And it, I think that part, like, affects, is he, like, below average in terms of slowness? Probably a little bit, but you get these incidents and it just blows those numbers, like, out of proportion. And I think the green stuff too, like the time he takes to read the greens, but I don't know, man, like, and maybe this is a TV thing. I'd rather watch him than Cantlay.
Cantlay doing the toe tap thing drives me bonkers.
It's awful.
But here's the other thing about just watching it on TV. You don't know, like, he can take 8 minutes on the green if he wants, if there's nowhere to go on the next tee box. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see, like, the pace of how the course is playing. I don't know. There's a lot that goes into pace of play, but yeah, you're right. Some of the stuff is self-inflicted, which I think is why he gets this reputation.
Yeah. He does not help himself. he doesn't give himself the benefit of the doubt, or he doesn't force others to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Kyle Porter, you are going to be on site. I cannot wait for this. I cannot wait to hear everything about it. We are just going to actually, let's just get, we're going to do a live podding. Just like, we'll get you on the air, on the AirPods. We'll just go live for, like, your entire walking around time. I'm sure people will love it.
Yeah. I'm with Bryson. He just drove at 385 on number 11. And, it's going to be, I don't know. I found out I have to go, like, pretty early to quarantine and you know, everybody's done, it's been great. Like, everybody's done a great job with safety and protocol and all that stuff. And I haven't been out yet. I mean, I haven't been out since, man, where was the Pebble Beach since last year? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause I didn't go anywhere in the fall, didn't go anywhere in the spring. And then obviously COVID. So I'm really excited. It's going to be, you know, I think this is, what's your number two story behind? I think we both have this as number one. What's your number two?
We both have what was number one?
I think Bryson.
For what? For storylines?
Yeah.
Good question. I don't really like this, but I do think that it being played in November is a big deal. I think it's going to play a lot differently. I don't like to pander to you, KP, but I don't need the Rory Grand Slam stuff. I think it's Spieth, and I actually think it's Spieth. What happens after this? I'm waiting for the Michael Greller split. I'm waiting for him to just really hard reset this, get a different voice in there. I don't know, man, it's really bad. And I think that they get one last tour around a place that's been very good to them. And then we got to figure something out.
So Spieth over even Tiger defending.
Listen, the Tiger story's built in. Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know. What I
mean? The Tiger story's built in. I'm going to love every second of it. He's defending. It's going to be phenomenal. But, like, his play recently hasn't gotten me all that excited. I'll be really depressed if he, like, finishes, you know, T60 or whatever. Like, that's not a great story. I don't know. I think that's built in. So I'm trying to find something that's a little bit off the beaten path.
I think it's probably Rory, the slam, and I don't know, maybe other stuff. I guess part of my point in that is it seems like all the others are so far below the Bryson thing right now.
I agree with that.
And so it's like, there's a gap between, you know, it's like a Bryson size gap between one and two for storylines for going into this. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's a cool way to end what's been a pretty crappy year.
Yeah, we deserve this in such a big way. all right. Well, we're going to be talking almost, I'm sure, constantly. Can't wait to have you out there. Can't wait for you to lay some eyes on everything. If you would like to follow Kyle Porter on Twitter, which I highly recommend, at Kyle Porter CBS, you can find me at Rick Rungood. This is the first of our Masters coverage, and this has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.